This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Folks, this is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where's my magic portal to return me to Wisconsin?
Over there, in the media corner.
What? $25 per checked bag?
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for June 16, 2010. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm good and distant. No, you're the distant one.
I'm the distant one. I'm just waiting for somebody to stick their head in the conference room and go, "What are you doing?"
You are my density. No, distant.
I am doing this from work in a conference room. You can probably tell from the acoustics. This is not the studio microphone, but I am glad to be here. It's been a long week, and I'm looking forward
to getting
back.
He's at ChuckCon, and there's nobody there. That's why it's so hollow.
ChuckCon. Welcome to ChuckCon 10.
Welcome, everybody. Crickets.
The binary version of our date is higher than the attendance right now.
Yeah.
Before we get too much further, we want to remind you that this show is sponsored by GoToAssist Express, the wonderful remote diagnostic package that lets you see what's on someone else's computer, whether they've got a Windows or a Mac. All they need is a web browser. You download a little applet, you give them a URL, and you're online in seconds, seeing what's on their screen. Now, you probably don't have to think too hard to imagine the scenario where you're trying to describe something or they're trying to describe something to you, and you go, "What on earth are they talking about?"
As a matter of fact, I had the same issue today. I tried to use GoToAssist to fix my parents' computer problem.
And?
Well, they didn't accurately describe to me that the internet was down, so this didn't actually work.
Yeah, you do need an internet connection to use GoToAssist Express. That's the one caveat. Well, an internet connection, a functioning computer, and a web browser. How's that? You've got all three of those, you're good to go.
Yeah.
And we want you to try GoToAssist free for 30 days to help out somebody who's got an internet connection, working computer, and a web browser. For 30 days free, just go to GoToAssist.com/techpodcast. That's GoToAssist.com/techpodcast for your free 30-day trial. Coming up in this episode, we've got a ship especially designed for cleaning up oil spills, Futurama meets the X-Men, and a beautiful hack for all you iPad owners. You won't want to miss that. Stay tuned. All that's coming up right after this.
I thought you were going to say beautiful hacker.
He can compile C with his bare hands. He speaks the binary language of moisture evaporators in three dialects. He invented binary. He is the most interesting geek in the world.
I don't always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I listen to Technorama. Stay geeky, my friends.
Strange units of measure.
This is very bizarre.
Go is 180 millimeters. A pack year is a cigarette consumption based on one pack a day for a year.
Oh, for crying out loud.
A nibble, typically 4 bits of binary code or half a byte.
Now, I knew that one.
Score, that's 20 of something. A hand, 4 inches of horse height.
Now, wait a minute. So you measure a horse in hands. Do you measure a donkey in butts?
No, a donkey is an ass. A TWIP is 1/20th of a typesetting point.
Wow, I didn't know that one.
This is TWIP, this week in podcasting.
Don't forget about a thrave, which is 24 sheaves of wheat.
Bring in the sheaves.
friendship.
A shake is 10 nanoseconds.
Yeah, that's like when you're going to detox.
Look, they're shaking at this certain 10 nanosecond frequency.
Yeah, whatever.
A Mickey is a ratio of computer mouse movements to on-screen cursor movement.
Knew that one.
A Jansky is a strength of radio signals from space.
A long time ago.
A butt is two hogs' heads or about 126 gallons of boo.
I didn't know that one either.
And smoot is a measure of length developed by some MIT students equal to 5 feet 7 inches, the height of Oliver R. Smoot.
It'll be over in just a moment.
All right, welcome back. Looking at the chat room. We have a thin chat room tonight because should explain that we tried to record Sunday night. However, there was a number of things that conspired against us. First of all, the Wi-Fi at the hotel was not appreciative and did not give us enough bandwidth to even hold a basic Skype call. There was a bad latency. So Craig and I then tried cell phones. That was even worse with dropouts on my end. And then he said, why don't you go into work? It's only less than a mile away. Thought about that, and it's a good thing we didn't, because there was a major power outage up and down the coast north of San
Nothing
Diego.
Nothing was helping us yesterday.
No, it was a really bad situation. So tonight I am at work using their Wi-Fi and having a good old time of it. Sounds pretty good.
Is there anybody there with you?
I think there's a couple of developers in a conference room somewhere.
They're like, what is he doing in there? I don't know, he's talking to himself.
But you'll notice the acoustics are a little bit different, and you may even hear like a bus go by every once in a while, or kids playing in the park across the street. It's great.
It's great. Well, you're in San Diego? No, you're in... Are you in?
I'm just north of San Diego in a little town called Solana Beach.
Solana Beach. Cool.
It's a beautiful place, and you can see the ocean. I showed Craig on the webcam the other night. We were doing a Skype connection. And there was like this little... a steel drum band or something, Congo guitar thing across the street in
it's
the
like,
park.
Why are you talking to me? Go out there and get you a beer and, you know, mix it up with the steel band.
There's a bar right across the street. This is a great location. If I could afford to move here, I would.
What? You'd give up Wisconsin and your snowblower?
It's very tricky because there is no change of seasons here. The ocean just kind of flattens out all the extremes.
Oh, yeah. That's, I've been to Baker. Well, you know, I've been to California plenty of times.
Yeah, yeah.
And, especially the lower part of California, it's like, oh, yeah, same thing, different day.
It is. It's kind of weird. I could come back here in mid-January. It'll be just like this.
You know, the funny part is, one time I was out there and I saw it rain. I was taking a bus to the airport. And I saw more accidents on the highway because clearly nobody knew how to drive in the rain. Yeah, that was funny.
Well, I will be back in the studio next week, and this will sound a little more like it's supposed to. And
really?
We'll record it and put it on the stream and all that kind of good stuff. Want to give a shout out to the chat room. We've got, who do we have? Gru, Step K, Serenity, Ben Vaughn, Christine M., Captain TARDIS, and Nightstar. Thank you all for joining us. Captain TARDIS started the whole thing, and he said it was, what was it, sci-fi travel vehicles or something?
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's why I went with Serenity. That's me.
What is a Nightstar? Is that like some kind of frigate?
Nightstar is his own name. Never changed it.
His own thing. Actually,
and I think Christine M. just realized he was on the wrong theme night.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Welcome to Calculus 1. Oh, crap. I'm supposed to be in history.
History. When do we talk about the campaigns? All right.
Looking at the birthday calendar, we got a whole bunch of them tonight. We've got June 16th, Joe Edmison. Also on June 16th, Jason from the Angry Geek podcast. June 17th, Digital Dan from The Hook Show. The 18th is Luke, a.k.a. Platypus72 from the UK, and Zian Fox from Appleton. I've met him before.
Really?
He loaned me a cassette tape deck so I could transfer a cassette of my grandfather from 1982 onto the computer. Thank you very much.
Was this for our 1985 podcast?
That was before my 1985 podcast. And then I burned it and gave a copy to my dad. He liked that.
Nice.
June 19th, Stephen from Wichita, Kansas. 21, Askey Adam from The Hook Show. Well, we got both Hook Show people within a few days of each other. That's weird.
What's up with that?
I don't know. Kind of cool. And two birthdays on the 22nd, Lance Heath. Is Lance still podcasting?
No, but Every now and then I see him post stuff on Flickr, and I ping him every once in a while on Facebook.
Oh, okay. And Jack Stevens, happy birthday to everybody. If it happens to be your birthday and you're not on the birthday calendar, well, we wish you a happy birthday as well. You can get your name on the birthday calendar by going to chuckchat.com/wiki, and we'd be happy to call out your name when the time comes. I still see people putting that on there and really, really appreciate it. If you happen to be around on Sunday nights, normally, at 9 p.m. Eastern
Unlike
time.
Unlike us.
A normal programming schedule is being disconnected. You can join us and watch on Ustream. We record it and store it there. So if you don't happen to be around, we are now going to be putting the video portion on the blog just below that little more tag so the pages load a little quicker. Craig noticed that
about
18 Ustream videos up there. It was like...
Well, in all fairness, NCAF was the one that... was the one that pointed it out that... The page was pretty hefty when you try to load it. And sure enough, it is. And it's, and even the other night when we were trying to podcast with Victor and George, something was auto-playing, which I hate.
I hate that too.
So it's not, I think I found it, and I just removed it because it was ridiculous.
So hopefully that'll make the page a little more friendly to everybody and they don't have to wait and wait and wait, because you know what it's like when you go to a web page and it just takes forever to load.
That night, I actually thought Steve Jobs was right.
About Flash. What? HTML5?
No, I hate Flash. Oh. I was hating it there for a minute.
All right, looking at the news, the first story up is we have a Pac-Man ship that eats up oil spills. This is just a strange and bizarre picture.
Well, in all fairness, it's not quite like Pac-Man because it's not a circle, but it does split in half, which is interesting.
Wow.
You know, if there's anything that was remotely interesting about the oil spill that's going on in the Gulf, it's the barrage of stuff we've seen to help clean it up or try to. And this is that's one true. Of those ships. It splits in half, and it literally looks like they ran into something, and the ship went like a cartoon and split in the middle.
Buzzsaw down the middle.
Yeah, except for the last part. So it kind of splits off, and as it moves, it can siphon the water through into the center part of the V and clean it.
It says, the Botsan-class oil recovery ship crews just like any other vessel until they reach an oil spill. Then they open like Pac-Man, transforming into a machine that can clean up oil from 140 cubic meters of water per hour. Actually, it's supposed to be 140 cubic meters of oil. It processes the oil. I saw that in the comments a little further below. Created by Deutsche Marine, the German Navy, the Botsan class opens in half, creating an area to trap water to process its 790 cubic meter tank. Obviously, one is not enough to clean up BP's oil apocalypse in the Gulf of Mexico. But at this point, in this huge disaster, anything can help. Is
you know,
this Kevin Costner's boat?
Well, yeah. Now, you know... That's something I was curious about, because when he came out and said he had these machines, I was like, you know, this is crazy enough. It sounds crazy enough. It could actually, you know, be something true. And apparently there's some truth to what the machines got. It's just that for since the day he came out and they were with the machines and he was talking about it, and then the day they actually tried to use them, I'm thinking it was like, what, 2 weeks at least? And I kept thinking, I Google every once in a while and see, I wonder what happened, you know, go look. And sure enough, there was no news until recently. And apparently they're working, but they're just now starting to put them out there. You think they'd have done that a long time ago if they worked.
Yeah, no kidding. There's a lot of things that could have, should have, would have been done better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I know that there's a lot of things. Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of things that could have done better. And there's a lot of unknowns that we don't know as a general public why they're not doing something fast enough. But it's just kind of frustrating for everybody.
It is frustrating when the thing is still gushing 6 weeks later. Going,
it's pathetic.
This could have been handled better.
I know. Yeah.
Speaking of handling better,
hey, how do you like the new wheels on this Technorama?
The new what?
Handling.
Oh. Moving on to the hacks and strange stories.
Was Lenny in there with you?
No, we had to use his soundbite again. Okay. Although I think I saw him in one of the airports on the way out here.
Oh, don't make eye contact. Just kind of look down.
You know how he can be. He's everybody's best friend.
Yeah.
All right. who said, Alexis sent us this link. Hello Kitty says hello to Star Wars, Batman, Wolverine, and more with awesome customs.
Is there anything they won't throw Hello Kitty at?
It's not often that one would classify Hello Kitty as cool. Adorable? Sure. Cool? Not so much. But artist Joseph Senior is defying the odds by bringing us some legitimately cool Hello Kitty reinterpretations. No, seriously. Check them out below. There's a Hello Kitty Iron Man, Hello Kitty Batman, and Hello Kitty's... what is that? The one on the left? Which or right?
It's the Invisible Girl.
With the yellow antennas?
Oh, excuse me, yellow antennas. It's a Transformer.
I had to stretch to get that imagination.
Yeah, it's like a Transformer or... Yeah, I think it's supposed to be like Optimus
Homer
Prime or something.
Simpson one.
Actually, the one I liked the most that I thought was cool was the one right above Homer to the right. It's the Invisible Girl from the Fantastic Four. There's no face. It just looks transparent. It's kind of neat. I see. Yeah.
And lots of characters from Star Wars, of course.
Hey, there's RoboCop. Goodness. He's down at the bottom.
A chainsaw wielding one.
Yeah.
Hockey mask.
Buzz Lightyear. Oh, look. Newkirk. Newkirk.
With the Starfleet insignia on the bow. Isn't that nice?
Hey, that's funny. Newkirk sounds like a town. Probably is.
Kudos to this guy, Joseph Senior. Wow, that's too much. Also, in the Hacks and Strange Stories, we got Who Knew the Speak and Spell Team Was So Sexy?
Hey, baby. You know what? This is about as sexy as that company photo from Microsoft. Remember?
From 1975. Well, isn't this at 78? A portrait of the team behind the Speak and Spell toy has come to light via the Good Ship Sexy People. Aren't they a handsome bunch? Many of us would have owned one, but did you know it launched at CES in 1978?
Wow. I would have dated it more like 80, but still. Well, it did have a good life span to it, so yeah, I could have stretched in the 80s. Well, that was an amazing little device, wasn't it?
That was. Well, that it was in E.T.
Yeah. And E.T. was in what, 80?
82, I think.
Oh, see? It had a lifespan.
And it was repurposed in, not the, who, what band had that in there? It wasn't Korn. It wasn't Linkin Park.
Oh, I don't know. A lot of people have used it.
You know
what
I'm talking about.
It was also in Toy Story.
It's on the tip of my tongue, and somebody in the chat room's got to help me out.
Yeah,
did you see the image that's in one of the comments?
The image in one of the
comments? The guy who wants a mustache rub.
Well, there's two with and two without.
Someone's got an image of the little professor.
That was a neat little device, though. You know.
Oh, someone did include the Microsoft image.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
From 78, same year.
Oh, the little professor is also in the comments. I thought that was a neat little calculator.
I think I've seen some of the guys around work dressing like this.
I think I've talked about this a long time ago. I worked at this computer place, and they were talking about this systems guru dude, and he literally was in the closet, and he would come out every once in a while. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Sure enough, I saw him.
It'd be funny to see these guys same pose today.
Yeah, you know, well, they are. If you go visit the link, it says update. Check out what they look like now.
Oh, dear Lord. Okay.
But yeah, I saw the systems guy come out of the closet, you know, literally not.
Hey, wait a minute. There's six of them in this picture.
They spawn. Man, those must be the CEOs or something. Or
wow, that one guy with the mustache who wants a mustache rub still styles his hair the same way. That's scary.
That is funny. Oh, who
wants a mustache rub? Now, I know you've got an iPad, and I've got an iPad now.
Yeah.
And I cannot find a case. I ordered one online finally. I got the in-case one, but it's going to take a couple of weeks to get here.
Oh, is that the one I suggested to you, right?
Yes, it is.
They didn't have it at Best Buy, or did you?
They didn't have it at Best Buy. I went to the Apple store on Sunday. They said, we're selling them out as fast as we can get them in. They said, within an hour, they're usually gone.
Mm-hmm.
And since shipments don't come in on Sunday, I said, bye. Plus, I heard the Apple case is actually, it's not like a leather or something. It gets kind of funky with lint and stuff.
Yeah, it's like a you ever had a notebook or something that has like that kind of fake suede kind of feel to the plastic.
So for now, I'm still using my reversible neoprene sleeve that I think Donna got from a vendor or something at a conference. And it works. It works. It's supposed to be for a netbook. And my little, what is it, the Acer fits in there just great. But so does the iPad.
You know, I saw some at Office Depot for like $10. Probably the same type thing. It just kind of slides right in.
Stand, it's kind of annoying to try to type. That's why I really want a standable sleeve. Well, this is almost as good because somebody retrofitted their iPad right into a Mac Classic.
You know what? I would totally do this. I don't think they did what I was thinking of. I cut a slot in the top where I can slide it down in it and then pull it out at will.
The funny thing is the resolution on the iPad is better than the old Macintosh Classic was.
That's funny. I figured it's given.
But look, it only types in Chinese.
Oh. What does it say on
Japanese,
there?
Sorry, Japanese.
It says, say hello to Macintosh. Oh.
I get it.
It is pretty cool, though.
The things they won't do with old Mac cases.
I know. That's a neat idea. You know, it's better than making it to a fish tank.
Well, they already did that.
Everybody's done that, except for me.
I didn't do it.
No.
Scott Reynolds turned into his old NetBSD machine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
he loaded NetBSD on an old, I think it was an SE30? It was the same old case, though.
Oh, he gutted it or something? Or
No. It's still a fully functional SE30.
Hmm.
It was an SE or an SE30, I can't remember, but it was that old classic case style.
Good Lord, what? It had to be old. It can't be a modern version of.
Yeah, the 68K port of Mac OS runs on that machine.
No, I'm talking about
Mac OS, NetBSD. Excuse me.
NetBSD. Okay. Well, all right.
He was the what do you call him? The code maintainer, the port moderator, whatever it is.
Oh,
of the 68K. Yeah, the 68K version of NetBSD. I don't know if he still is or not. He'll probably call in or email.
Say Scott was? Scott?
Scott Reynolds, yeah.
Oh, well, maybe we should call him up and get a quote.
He'll let us know if he hears this, but it'll probably be in about 6 months.
6 months?
He's a little behind on his podcasts.
Oh, I'll just tweet him and make him go skip ahead.
Yeah, listen to show 263.
Yeah.
We already did 263. This is 267. I don't know. You got the numbers all mixed up now.
Well, no, it was your fault.
It wasn't my fault. I put out 264 and 265, and then you came back and did 262. Don't try and pin this on me.
Well, it's because it wasn't in my library, and it threw me all off.
Go look at the website.
Oh, I can't. It's too heavy with the flash stuff. Yeah.
So, ouch.
That's why I didn't. All right.
We fixed that.
Yeah.
Did you put in a change request?
Yeah. They said it would take 6 months to fix.
So you just did it anyway.
Yeah.
Speaking of fix, which has nothing to do with our next article, I just like bad segues. They're more fun than good ones.
Speaking of burritos.
And the price of cheese in Lower Slavonia is...
six.
The Spider 3 is the world's most powerful portable laser. It's a real-life lightsaber.
It looks like one, too.
Built with a blue laser diode of a dismantled Casio projector, the $200 Spider 3 Pro Arctic is the world's most powerful portable laser. It can permanently blind you and set your skin or anything else really on fire almost instantly.
Neat, I think.
With great power comes a need for greater responsibility. That's actually what Wicked Lasers, the mad geniuses behind the Spider 3, wrote to us in an email describing this terrifying piece of technology.
No, by the way, I think that that this is the catalyst for natural selection.
You think so? How many watts did they say this laser is?
It's 1 watt.
Now, that doesn't sound
about
right.
Yeah, it's a 1 watt Spider 3. 1 watt, but
how much
lasers,
are they usually? I mean, what's your typical red laser pointer for a slide projector? I mean, a slideshow.
It's probably like nothing, really. I don't know. You know, I my two of my cousins were really playing with lasers And he's like, he said, you want to see the laser? I was like, sure. He said, here you go. Put these on. It was like safe, you know, the orange safety goggles. It's like, what are you talking about? I mean, it was like he had a high-powered red laser. I think he had a green one. It's been a long time since he showed me, but yeah, he'd be all over this.
Why would a Casio projector have a laser like this inside it?
You know, that's a good question, and I don't know the design behind that
projector. I mean, are these ultra-thin projectors starting to use lasers?
They may have to, because they're so small. With the heat and everything, you may not be able to have a lamp in there.
Oh, I would have expected them to start using diodes.
That's what a laser is.
No, a laser is not a diode.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, man, it just said... Where'd it say? The diodes in Casio's new mercury-free green slim projectors apparently allow for unprecedented power portable lasers. Diodes.
The diodes are on the front end, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're using a laser. Why would you need to change the diode into a laser? That's what I want to know.
I just like when we both try to up each other, acting like we know what we're talking about.
And then just go and read the article anyway. That's good. Hey, you listener, this show has no credibility. Haven't you figured that out by now?
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're going to take
on the structural integrity of the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the Media Corner. Lots of good stuff there.
Mr. Turtle, how many keystrokes does it take to get to the ring zero center of an operating system pipe?
I never found out without baiting. Ask Mr. Owl.
Mr. Owl, how many keystrokes does it take to get to the ring zero center of an operating system pipe?
Let's find out. 1, 2, 3.
How many licks does it take to get to the ring zero center of an operating system pipe? The world may never know.
Blue background, yellow, happy face.
Michigan State Wolverines. Right? If it was blue with yellow, it's Michigan State.
Dang!
My Google's blue and white.
Never mind.
Michigan State Wolverines.
That happens. And there's a reason I do that, so to make sure you're listening to the whole show. That way you can pick out the things that are wrong and call us back, and then I know you listened.
That's our mantra here on Technorama.
Yeah. Purposely put something wrong in it and see if they detect it.
You listened.
Yeah.
What kind of mantra is that?
All right, looking at the media corner, we have an obscure Star Trek joke beams into the A-Team movie. Do you know the connection between Star Trek and the A-Team?
Yes, I do.
And that would be?
Well, first off, let me tell you, I'll precedent this real quick. I watched the A-Team movie. Oh, I enjoyed it.
You stink.
Well, you know, I loved the A-Team when it back in the day. I'm not alone in that, I'm sure. I know a lot of other people did. But the movie, I thought, was a little more on the gritty side, kind of like, you know, Star Trek. But at the same point, you know, the way they did Star Trek with the new incarnation. But it's just a big explosion, happy, fun adventure ride. And that's all you need to read into it.
So it's not known for its storyline. It's kind of a Transformers like movie.
Well, sort of. It's actually sort of like Transformers in a way, but there is a good little, you know, story with a twist in it to make you go, how are they going to pull this off? But you know, there's explosions and everything, and they do what they got to do. But yes, it was pretty good. I read online that there was I just saw like the teaser in my feed that said that there was a Star Trek Easter egg in the A-Team movie. And I went, oh, well, I didn't read the whole article because I wanted to try and find it myself. Mm-hmm. I saved the article for later. And I found it. It was actually a little easy to find, but do you want me to tell you?
A spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
All right.
Okay, you've been warned. If you haven't seen the A-Team, fast forward a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Because the connection between the A-Team and Star Trek is the actor Dwight Schultz. He played Murdoch in the old show, and he also played Reg Barkley on Star Trek. And you know, as soon as I saw Barclay, I'm like, gosh, he looks like Murdoch.
Oh, as soon as you saw the new guy, you mean?
No. As soon as I saw Barclay on Next Generation.
Oh, back in the day.
Yeah. That was my first thought. He looks like
the dude on the team.
They even had the actor who played Max Headroom on there once, too. He's easy to spot. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, Matthew Frewer.
But anyway.
Matt Frewer. I can't say his name right. Okay, so here you go. So skip ahead if you don't want to know.
At about 45-minute mark in the A-Team, there's a scene where the gang is about to bust Charlto Copley's version of Captain H.M. Howling Mad Murdoch out of the psychiatric prison, because that's what the A-Team does. Murdoch gets a mysterious package with a DVD and a whole bunch of 3D glasses. He leads his fellow inmates to the mini screening room. As other things are happening, like bad guys approaching, the DVD plays in the background. If you're paying attention, you'll see the list of actors in the opening credits for the movie within the movie, which is called...
By the way, that movie that they're playing, the music starts going, it says the A-Team music, like from the show. And they show helicopters coming in. It looks like the opening to the show. But go ahead, I'll let you finish.
They call the movie The Great Escape. The first name that comes up clearly reads Reginald Barclay. There you go.
And I was totally got it, and it took. I went, wait a minute. Oh yeah, okay. It was good.
Nice little homage there. It would have been nice if Dwight Schultz had made some kind of cameo.
He did at the end.
After the credits.
After the credits, yeah.
Oh, there's a little clip in this article too that's kind of fun to watch. He does a good job. I like it when he's hanging from the rotor of the helicopter. You spin me right.
Rotors are good. At the very end. So if you hadn't seen the movie and you're listening and you get to hear this, stay after the credits. There's a little couple of clips that, that'll
Brighten
your day.
Okay. I don't know if I'm going to get the chance to see that before I get back to Wisconsin. I'm trying to think of my schedule. YouTube. Wednesday night, I'm meeting with Steve Holden and some other managers. We're having a manager's tools meetup down here again.
Cool.
Yeah. I haven't been to one of those in a while.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
That would be good. Anyway,
to see all my manager peeps.
Yeah. Well, I can recommend the A-Team for if you just like a big action dumb flick.
All right. And if not, I'll wait till it comes out on Netflix and have a big action dumb flick in my house.
Yeah. I thought that's what it's called when you're home. I'm sorry.
Have been catching up on a lot of movies because Netflix on the iPad. Oh, sweet.
It is sweet.
It is so nice.
I'm waiting for my Hulu app.
Oh, I got to get that.
It's coming. It's not out yet. I'm waiting.
Can't wait. Got to get it now. Yeah. Got to get it now. Everything's right now. Right now. Got to have it.
Speaking of right now.
Right now. Well, while you were on the ground taking pictures of the Atlantis taking off.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, someone up in the air took this awesome picture over at Gizmodo.
Yes. This is a beautiful picture. And it's the Atlantis STS-132 taking off. And you can see an F-15 in the foreground. And you can see where the shuttle took off from the launch pad and went straight up at a little arc, and you can see the whole trail, and it has a nice shadow over the water. It's a very cool picture.
Is it just me, or have I become skeptical of every picture that looks too good to be true?
Well, this is from Discovery, the Discover magazine site, so it can't be too hokey.
It almost looks Photoshopped, dare I say.
It does. Well, that's because... I would say that it would, because this is something you're probably never going to see or ever seen, because it looks so odd. But yeah,
I'll never see it because I'll never be up in a plane next to an F-15.
Here you go. The full caption reads, Lieutenant Colonel Gabriel Green and Captain Zachary Bartow patrol the airspace in an F-15E Strike Eagle as the Space Shuttle Atlantis launches on May 14th at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Colonel Green is the 333rd Fighter Squadron Commander, and Captain Bartow is the 333rd FS Weapons System Officer. Both aircraft members are assigned to the Seymour Johnson Air Force Base, North Carolina, and they're both patrolling right there. That's one of them, I guess.
I always like to read the captions. Or the comments on the site.
Oh, I was going to say captions. So, check out the shadow with a plume on the ground. Yeah, it was really interesting, Chuck.
There is no spoon.
There is no spoon.
That's really Neo taking off.
That's Neo taking off. So anyway, moving along in the media corner.
We have C. Natalie Portman, Anthony Hopkins, and Thor himself during doing their version of mythical Thor. People on ice.
Well, I watched this, and there is glimpses of what you're going to see in the movie, like a very small glimpse of Thor and Anthony Hopkins playing Zeus. And, you know, so you don't get a whole lot. You get Natalie Portman and
Chris Hemsworth.
Hemsworth, they're sitting there chatting it up and with the interviewer. So it's not a whole lot of meat to this, but it is kind of neat to see a little bit.
All I can picture is Anthony Hopkins doing something like, yesterday I ate Grendel's liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
You know, whatever reason my warped mind came up with seeing him dressed up as Zeus singing Putting on the Ritz.
What?
I don't know. Well, I don't know why that came from.
What are
if
you
you're blue
smoking?
And you don't wear to go to, the, huh?
What are you smoking that you can put that together?
I don't know.
Wow.
Right before you said something, that just clicked. And I don't know. And you know what? I'm going to laugh if at the end of the credits, they have a little extra. And he's doing I will just roll over and die.
Okay, now that I've got that image in my mind.
If you're blue and you don't know, there.
Moving on. All right, who sang that?
The 80s version, not the...
Who sang that in the 80s? Who did the 80s version?
Taco.
Very good, that was it, Taco.
Yeah.
That's an easy song to get stuck in your head.
Who did the original?
I don't know who did the original. We're going to have to look that up.
Yeah. So anyway, don't forget, this is a PSA from Technorama, that new episodes of Futurama are starting in 2 weeks. Actually,
what, speaking of superheroes and mythical creatures.
Yeah, on June 24th. And the reason I'm looking at this is because a Cartoon Brew, they had a picture of all the Futurama characters doing their X-Men, dressed up as X-Men, which is kind of neat.
Interestingly enough, Fry is Cyclops and not Leela.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know. Maybe they didn't want to stereotype or something. I like Zaf branding.
Stereotype? Who has one eye? Well, he is a dude and she's not.
I'm going to have to, I think there's an HD version of, this is Comedy Central, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I think there's an HD version of Comedy Central. I'm going to have to try out our new HD DVR on that.
An HD DVR? Oh, yeah. Did you have an HD DVR?
I signed up for Time Warner's HD bundle phone, internet, TV service all in one.
Hmm. Well, I will, since I don't subscribe to anybody's service, I'll probably catch it on Hulu or something.
Calculon is Frozone.
I like Calculon, if anything, for the name.
My God, that was so bad. I think it gave me cancer.
Oh, boy. So
yeah,
funny.
All your favorites are in there. Who's the robot, the crazy one that was wielding the knife? Randy or Reginald or Roberto? That's it, Roberto.
Yeah, Roberto.
Roberto's got to cut something, you see? I'm going to cut you.
That's funny. You keep looking at this picture, you keep finding more.
I know. And there's a bigger one that I think it was AD Dude sent it to me, that had, this one's kind of cropped in the website that we've got here on Cartoon Brew.
They got Captain Brannigan is Magneto, and they have Kip as Frog.
Kip looks more like Kermit the Frog.
Actually, looks the same.
Yes, sir. All right, last story in the media corner. We have, Jerry Ryan explains the Mortal Kombat video. Apparently, Jerry Ryan showed up in a Mortal Kombat video trailer. Did you watch this?
Yes, have you seen it?
Very good.
It was good. And if you're familiar with Mortal Kombat at all.
Is this for a game or for a movie?
No, here's the deal. I'm trying to remember the director's name. Anyway, this was made for a pitch to Warner Brothers because they own the Mortal Kombat title and everything. So this guy made this video, which is his take on the Mortal Kombat universe, which is kind of neat because you'll see all the familiar names and they have all the familiar signatures, you know, like they all do their own, you know, their own, like Johnny Cage is the old action guy, anyway, that kind of thing. So there's strains from the original Mortal Kombat stuff, but it's more like a horror flick type police action thing. It's kind of weird.
Harlequin ichthyosis.
Is that what it is?
That's what they said Reptile had.
Oh. So anyway, Jerry Ryan shows up as Sonya Blade towards the end, and I'm like, oh, that's Jerry Ryan. Cool.
I hope she shows up in Leverage again.
I think she will.
Oh, she was good. Didn't like the...
Oh, speaking of which, Leverage is starting back up.
Yes, it is. And so is... come on.
Yes.
The Global Dynamics... Eureka, thank you.
Oh. Eureka!
I've got it!
Yeah.
And on that note, it seems like... Our brains have shut down for the show, so we're going to call it a show.
We're going to call it a show?
We appreciate you giving us your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love.
Wait,
you can call the
back
yes.
up.
Yeah.
Back up.
Okay, what?
Look at the last item in the media corner.
Did you put something in there?
You did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shame on me.
How soon we lest forget.
We're participating. Thank you, because I was just looking at the tabs on my browser. Thank you for bringing me back to that. We are participating in Podcast Madness Summer of Podcast 2.
Dun, 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 dun. Well, actually, you got two as in also.
No, they did this last summer. Oh. We were not part of it, and there are something like 40 podcasts in this, and our magic keyword is green. You have to listen to the podcast for more. There will be another keyword coming up next month. What I want you to do is go over to podcastmadness.com, and you will see a form on the right asking you for your information and enter a keyword, and you can enter to win a prize. There is a prize every month for June, July, August, and September.
Every week.
What?
Every month?
Every month there's a chance to win.
Okay.
And every month they get better. And at Blog World and New Media Expo, whatever they're calling it these days, they're going to announce... a podcast as the winner of this. So we have a chance to win if you go in and say, I think Technorama is the best produced podcast out of all of these. So
yeah,
you help us, we help you.
Show us how much you care and lie for us.
Podcastmadness.com, green. Don't Twitter this or you're decreasing your chances of winning. It's just for listeners of this podcast and some of the others that are on there too if you enjoy those. So good cross-promotion. We'd love you for you to go over there and do that and win. See, we can do contests again.
Whee!
Thanks for catching me on that. Now, as a favor to that, call the listener line, 206-222-CHAT. We expect Scott Reynolds to be calling us in and letting us know what Mac he's got, and was he the port maintainer or code porter or Cole Porter's sidekick? I don't know what that was. Or you can email us, technorama@chuckchat.com, Twitter us, C. Tomasi, Step K, or Technorama. You know all this. It's all on the website at chuckchat.com. There's also that good tip jar. I am working on yet another thing for those who are doing the monthly micropayments. You'll see something coming down the feed. I apologize for the lateness on the DIY plasma cutter video. I thought I had that feed uploaded, but it wasn't until I was setting up my latest laptop that discovered, hey... What happened to that video? It was uploaded.
Yeah, I just deleted it.
The file was there. The RSS feed was all put together, tested, and just never sent. So thank goodness to Dropbox. I can do that from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget about our little survey we've got going on. We appreciate everybody who's contributed to that. And it just takes 2 minutes to answer, about 10 questions, and you're out of there. Yeah. Special thanks to Mad Mar for providing all the great blog content. Ustream, who keeps our Mudus live streams going and archives our streams when we decide to record them, when we're actually in the studio and it works.
Yeah.
Not power outages or Wi-Fi situations withstanding. And our chat room is provided by thinstack.net. All of our files are stored and housed and archived on farpointmedia.com. We appreciate all that. You can find a whole bunch of great podcasts over at farpointmedia.com. And this show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com. If you're getting the show the old-fashioned way by clicking on the website, did you know there's a way to get it automatically delivered to you free?
Just
let us know if you can't figure it out. It's called subscribing to a podcast. It's simple in iTunes and many other podcatching clients. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five.
101.
Boy, I think we did that before.